I'd like to start us off with a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day.
Thank you.
Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. We thank you for comforting people that have lost loved ones, people that have people in hospitals. Father, we just ask that you bless them. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory this morning. We ask that your will be done in us and through us. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay,
we're still solo today. Are you all by yourself
Psalms
today?
99:8. We talked a little bit about this, but I felt that the Lord gave me some, what?
I thought we were doing Acts
16.
No, we are. We're going to get to that. We're going to segue in from this into that.
Oh. Okay.
We'll do a little segue here in a little bit, and then but. I couldn't let this go because I read something in Evie's letter that is so beautiful. I had to share it. Anybody that didn't read Evie's letter will get a nice little taste of this. But it says, "Thou answered them." Okay, God answered them. God answers us. God answers prayer. Why does he answer us?
Because he loves us.
Exactly. Because he wants relationship with us, okay? He wants us to answer him. He wants us to be back and forth like we would with our best friend that we haven't seen forever. We'd be thrilled, just thrilled to see that person and sit down with them and just talk. And God wants that of us. So it said, God answered them, O Lord our God, Thou was a God that forgave them. That's love. Thou took vengeance upon their inventions. He didn't take vengeance upon them. He took vengeance upon their inventions. Okay, I got to read this. It says, the message is this. And when the Lord says the message is this, I want to hear it. The message is, if you have it with you, it's page 3. It's in the bottom part of the second paragraph. The message is just this. If it was not good for man in the image of God to be in that image alone, if the man needed a wife to complement him and reproduce their life in the world, then it was likewise not good for God to be alone. Think about that. I've
Can you
never
read that again?
What he's saying here is, if it's good for man, it's good for God. If man should not be alone, then why did he create us? Why did he create mankind? For the fellowship. Just what we're talking about. Thou answered. He answered them. So he loves that relationship. He loves that intimacy, that friendship, that whatever. You know, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He loves that back and forth. And you know, I don't know about you, but it just seems like with me, it can happen anytime during the day. But there's something special about 3 o'clock in the morning. When everything's quiet, everything's, you know, still. Yours four? Everything's still, and it's just you and God. I mean, he speaks to me driving in the car. And I speak to him a lot during the day. But the beauty of this is he covets our relationship. He loves it being in relationship with us. That is the mystery. It takes the mind of the Spirit to understand that when God saw Adam in his loneliness and said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Hey, guy. God was expressing the great mystery of his own being within himself. I'm going to say that again. God was expressing the great mystery of his own being within himself. God had need for companionship. Mm-hmm. God had need for a union of love. This divine need is expressed by the Apostle Paul in these words of revelation and truth. According as he hath chosen us in himself before the foundations of the world. Get a hold of that one. He chose us before your mom and dad even knew each other. Okay? Before maybe they were even born, before their great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother were even born. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be before him in love, having predestined us according to the good pleasure of his will. Everything sitting here is part of his good pleasure. God's ultimate desire and need was for the companionship of beings like unto himself, of his own kind, with whom he could share his mind and heart, and through whom he could expand himself, incorporating them into the outworking of his own eternal purposes. As we view from the Father's heart, it becomes obvious that God, in his social and paternal nature, has marked out for himself a vast family which shares his own life, nature, mind, spirit, purpose, and power. Mm-hmm. If you came in here not happy, you got to be happy now. Because if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what does. I mean, that's how much he loves us. So anyway, anything else? That's all I had. I just wanted to revisit that just for a second.
I heard a say, it's not a saying, but someone said one time that people think that the opposite of love is hate,
mm-hmm.
but the opposite of love is indifference.
Yeah.
Is what?
Indifference.
Ambivalence.
Yes. And when you said God always answers us, reminded me, he is not ambivalent. He is not mm-hmm. indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
He will answer us, even if it's just to say, I'm here, I'm right here.
Yeah.
I'm right
and
here.
Not now.
And there's nothing that will make you feel unloved as to send a text to a person that you love very dearly
mm-hmm.
and get no answer. Even if the answer is, ah, thanks, I love you. Anything. Mm-hmm. Anything except being indifference.
Mm-hmm. Not even responding.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that really touched my heart when you said that. He always answers our prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's just right there waiting for us to have a relationship with him.
He wants our relationship. I hate to even say this, but I believe it probably more than sometimes we want his relationship.
Well, I think we don't know how. I know in myself, I will tell the honest truth. I say to God almost every day, God, I want to really have a great relationship with you. I want to know how to talk to you. I don't know how. I don't know if I'm supposed to bow down because you're so great. You know so much more. We are not equals. We are just, you know, and it's hard. It is hard. And I have to always say, God, show me. Show me how to be intimately related with you. Show me how to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you think the creator of everything.
Yeah, it's
that
so.
You could be in your little prayer closet, wherever it is. Could be your car, could be your prayer closet in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like the war room, the lady had her closet and she made it into a prayer closet, you know? Wherever your prayer closet is, it's just mind-boggling to think that the creator of all heaven and earth is right there with you and in you. Wow! I mean, it just blows your mind to think he loves you that much.
Yes.
That not only will he visit with you, he will actually come inside of you and be that holy of holies in your temple. And we are the temple of God. And his presence resides in us. And so, Yeah, it's just when you start to really think about the magnitude and the awesomeness of God, it's wow.
I need to tell God what I want. God knows what I want. It can't be, it can't be give your direction to God for those around us who are sick and hurting. It can't be. He knows all that.
Yeah.
He knows what he's going to do anyway. The only thing that we can really give to God is our willingness to surrender our will to him. God, make me more like you today. Help me to serve. Help me, to see a need and fulfill it in your way.
I see Oscar's ready to go here.
I see. But I see community. I know his awesomeness if we see all that. But I like knowing that you can be so intimate with him and talk to him and he understands. The oneness that you can feel with him no matter where you're at or what you're going through. And I look at the things you go through and so deepens your relationship with him, because you're so aware of him holding you, him loving you, him speaking to you, him fulfilling the need that you have in every area. It's just...
While you were talking and Kathy talked, I was just reminded of a time in seventh grade. I grew up in a time when they beat kids with a paddle. Okay? They beat them. They beat them because there was this guy named Mr. Schoenberger, German guy that never smiled, tough phys ed teacher. He was as tough as they came. Military background, he was tough, Schoenberger. Somehow, I don't know, and I know it's got to be God, but somehow I knew he liked me. When a teacher likes you, you know that. And I knew he really liked me because sometimes he would pull me offside and he would just kind of talk to me. I played basketball and he liked sports and all that. But anyway, if you did not bring the proper attire to your gym time, you got a SWAT. And this guy would light people up. I can remember guys getting a SWAT and they would go do the gym thing, but you always had to, if you didn't take a shower, you got a SWAT. And I can remember guys in the shower with this big, gigantic red thing on their backside where they took the SWAT ahead of time, and they wanted to go ahead and do gym. They didn't leave their gym clothes because they were trying to get out of gym. They just forgot. Well, one day, I forgot my gym clothes, and I was in a full-blown panic. I had never been spanked by a teacher all through. That was seventh grade. And I'd never been spanked all the way through high school. Never been spanked one time. And I knew I was heading for a whooping. And this is the way I equate all that we're talking about. I called my mom. That almost makes me cry because that was the God nature that God puts in a mother. To care so much about his kids. That she stopped what she was doing, she drove to the junior high, brought me my clothes to avoid SWATs. Now some parents would have said, you dummy, why didn't you bring your gym? You know you have gym on Wednesdays, why didn't you bring your gym clothes? Nope, that's God. When we do something stupid, you ever do something stupid and you see God just comforting you and saying, hey, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay. And so that day, it's like I really experienced the love of God through a mother. It was just amazing. And so I'll never forget that as long as I live. Anyway, Oscar, I know you had something that you had to...
Well,
on your mind that God put on your heart?
Well, I was just thinking, that in the Amplified Bible, it talks about him being the express image you know, the outring of the divine and all that kind of stuff. And when we realize that he was God come in the form of a man, because he was the fulfillment of what God said in the beginning, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. Mm-hmm. He was the total fulfillment of that. He was the completion of that. And when we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, we became what it really was, is we woke up to the fact of who and what we are in Him. And we're constantly being awakened to that fact. You know, because I love what it says in the Gospel, the Epistle of John, where it says, if reality were to break forth, we would be just like Him.
Oh, yes.
We're still walking in partial reality at this point. We realize, one day we realize, yes, I am a son of God, until something goes wrong. Until the car breaks down, or do you get mad or something else. And all of a sudden you think, well, maybe I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But you really are. But until we come to the full reality of who we are in Him, you know, and come to realize that as He is in this world, so are we.
Mm-hmm.
And that what that's really saying, the fullness of everything that He is, we are that too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the fellowship that we talk about, the real fellowship is the fact that we're called the body of Christ. And if we're the body of Christ, you know, my body is sitting here. My hand is my body. My toe, my big toe is my body, mm-hmm. you know? And any part of you, whatever reality you have in God, you're part of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why He says back in Psalms, I have said you are God's and sons of the Most High, but you die like men.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you die like men? You die like Adam is what it's really mm-hmm. saying. Why? Because we haven't come to the reality, the total reality of awakening of who and what we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it said back in Genesis, when God separated woman from man, He said He put him to sleep. But it doesn't say back there He ever really did wake him up.
Right.
You know, and why do you think it says so many places in Scriptures, awake thou that sleepest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says it numerous times. Actually, if you go back and you look at it, there's a bunch of different times where it'll say, awake thou that sleepest. Why? Because we have to awake to the reality of who we are in God and what we're not separated from God. We're not a separate
Mm-mm.
being from Him, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We are His body. We are His temple. You know, if we're His temple and the Holy of Holies is inside of us, then you know what? It sounds bad when you say it, but it's like it says back in Psalms. I have said you are God's.
Mm-hmm.
We're God's because of His presence in us, His life in us. He's the one that makes us what we are. And until we come to that total reality, we won't really function in the fullness of our inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where we're at right now. That's why we know in part, we prophesy in part, we kind of move in an in part realm.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God that in part realm is going to be over with eventually. And then it'll be a fullness realm where we'll come to the full realization of that we are sons and daughters of God, in the sense that we'll have that same authority
mm-hmm.
and that same reality mm-hmm. and that same anointing and that same power and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it won't be that we'll be doing anything, have to say, well, what God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, you'll just do it.
You'll do it because His presence will be so strong in you. You'll just do it, and it's not like you're going to go do something opposed to what God wants you to do, you know.
Your doing comes out of your being.
And in yeah. Hebrews, the second chapter, and this is in the Old Testament too, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory. You set him over all the works of your hands. It says, you put all things in subjection under his feet. And it goes ahead and says, we don't yet see all things in subjection under His feet, but what we see is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the pattern son, who for a while was made lower, you know, than the angels in his neck. And you have to realize in the first chapter of Hebrews, it tells you that the angels had to be told to worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had never seen God in the form of a man. They had to be told to worship Him, you know. And yet, when we come to that full reality of who we are, then we'll walk in a new power, a new authority, a new anointing that will break every yoke, and we'll be able to set all the captives free out there. You know what I mean? That we come in contact with, just like Jesus did, you know. But, you know, I just think sometimes we try to separate ourselves from God. Well, you know, I have, and it's right, we do have to fellowship with that Spirit of God. But when we come to the realization that that Spirit of God is in you, it's there all the time, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, mm-hmm. whether you acknowledge it or you don't acknowledge it, if he pulls his Spirit out of you,
mm-hmm. you know it.
You're going to fall down dead. I got nothing.
What would other than dying, what would happen if he, you're talking to somebody that's Spirit filled, and if God pulled that from us, would we die or would we be?
If his Spirit, if you read in Ephesians, where a lot of people try to separate different spirits, you know, they'll say my Spirit and God's Spirit, like your Spirit is different than God's Spirit. I got news for you.
One Spirit.
It's not. In Ephesians, it tells you there's one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Father, and God over all. You know, it's just one. And that's why he tells us, Father, I would that they would be one. And when he says that, he's really saying, I would that they come to the true understanding of who they are in me and who I am in them. See, that's why he said, I have to go away. Because as long as they could look at him physically and see him standing there, they could never believe that that Spirit was inside of them. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. They could never believe that. It's all just the Spirit of God, see? And it's in you. And it's in them out there. They just haven't acknowledged it yet. They just
what if they
know
never acknowledge it?
What, please?
What if they never acknowledge it?
They will acknowledge it. Because Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. They will acknowledge it. Now, they might not acknowledge it on this side of the veil. Mm-hmm. But they'll acknowledge it sometime, somewhere.
And then what would happen?
The same thing that happened when you acknowledged him. What happened when you acknowledged him?
You
were saved, weren't you?
Well, yeah.
Okay, you were born again, right?
Yeah.
You came to a knowledge of the Lord. The same thing will happen to them.
But you're talking about...
I know, that's deep. But it's not deep, it's
God,
really simple.
That's not deep. It's almost like the story of the rich guy, he had a field, and the penny, he paid, give you a penny, and then the last one, the last 5 minutes, he gave them a penny.
Right.
And the other people said, well, we work longer, you know, right. Shouldn't we? Yeah. You know, I kind of feel like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's because you eventually will come to the place where when you understand the love of God more, you'll understand it don't make no difference when you acknowledge him. Just acknowledging. It's don't make
the
no.
Better,
yeah, the sooner the better. That's right. The sooner the better. And when you come to that realization, then it doesn't bother you. See, you know.
Why does it bother me?
Well, because you're feeling like you've labored with the Lord a lot of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me give you an example, and I'll take this into a natural example real quick. If I have two children, and the one son is 20, and I have a daughter, and she's 19 or something, let's just say I do, and then me and Margaret, by a miracle of God, have another little baby, that little baby is going to inherit everything we've got too, even though it just came into the world. It's still my son, you know, it's still my daughter, whatever. And that's the way it is with the Lord. It's not when you came and how long you've been there. It's that you've been there. See, he was the firstborn among many brethren. And if you see that what happened in the Old Testament was the traditions that the firstborn son always inherited everything.
Yeah.
But God, in God, he breaks that tradition. He lets the second-born son get the inheritance. He did it with Jacob, you know, and he did it in other places. He did it with Isaac, you know. He was a second-born son. And, you know, so when you realize that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, that makes us the second-born. He said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, what is it? I've given it to who? To them. To them, that's us. He's given it to us. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was, he says. You know what the glory he had with him before the world was? He was God. He is God. He was the fullness of God. You know. But, you know, I mean, it's simple, but to your natural mind, it seems almost foolish, you know. But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, you know.
Etta, I think some of what you're feeling is, remember back in the garden, and God said, here's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Don't eat of that. And some of that is a part of you that's still eating of that. Is saying, well, this is good, but this guy, he was evil. And so you're attributing to him, you're judging with the judgment of Adam. God just wants you to eat of the tree of life. Life, 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 life. Let God deal with the evilness.
Yeah.
Which is what we struggle with.
Well, yes, and we also, that is such, it is such a struggle.
And it takes the Lord to change you. Yes. You know, you can't change yourself. Yeah.
Resentments and hurts are something that, I mean, they're so deep within us sometimes. And especially, you know, deep-seated things.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, any father wants their children to attain everything that they attained, if not more. You know, in the natural, if you really love them, you're not going to stand back jealously and say, well, yeah, but I don't want them to surpass me. And you know, the Lord dealt with me about having a servant's heart years ago. That's one reason why I opened up the pulpit to all the brothers and stuff in this church. And then I opened up to anybody if I really feel like the Lord's speaking through them. And you know, because I want them to attain everything that God has for them. And he told me one time, he said, just like the priest, when they went over into the promised land, they stepped down into the brink of the water, and they stood there and let everybody else go in front of them. He said, now that's a servant's heart. Are you willing to stand and let other people surpass you and go beyond you? If you're going to have a servant's heart, you have to be willing to do that. You know, and not do it with jealousy and everything else. I mean, the priest could have been standing there and saying, well, God, we've been serving you. We've been doing this. We've been doing that. You know, if they were thinking with their natural mind, how come they all get to go over and see it before we do? You know? Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, my heart's cry is to see the body of Christ grow up no matter what. Because then creation's going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And whatever part he has me playing that, I want to play that part. If that's stepping out of the way or promoting other people or whatever, then that's fine, you know. And that's like, you know, you'll come to that eventually. It'll work on you. It'll get you there. It'll get you there.
Kill the scorekeeper in you.
Right.
Kill the scorekeeper.
Yeah.
Don't keep score.
And that's a natural instinct to feel that way, though. It is, you know. It's a natural instinct.
Well, everything, I don't have nothing. I mean, nothing. And all my kids know that my son, Jim, will get what I have.
Yeah.
Anything that I have when I die will go to him. And he hasn't done a hundredth of what my other children done for me. I mean, Charlie buys me a car, has bought me a car for the last 30 years. He's given me a car. Liz has bought all my clothes, gives me money all the time, helps me out here, helps me out there. Jim lives with me. And he doesn't pay anything. He don't pay rent or electric or gas or, you know, the things that I do. And I don't want him to. And that my kids know it. They know that Jim is my favorite. And they're just as happy as can be. They don't care.
Well, you're Jesus' favorite. So is Kathy. So is Mike. So is everybody sitting around this table. You know. In that sense, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody, and all my friends say, well, that's horrible. Why don't you make them pay? Well, he does. I pay everything out of my check that I get every month. And then he takes care of me the rest of the month because I'm broke. So he buys the groceries. He gives me money. He gives me money to come up here. Everything he gives to me. And so, I don't know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the agreement that you guys have in the natural, there's nothing wrong with that agreement. And, you know, whatever belongs to you, belongs to you. You can do with it whatever you want. But, you know, if you take that in relationship to the Lord, whatever belongs to him, he can do with it as he wants. Mm. It's just like if your son had a baby, you know, and you decided to leave everything to that baby. You know, you can do that.
He never had one.
Well, anyway, I think we're getting off track a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just going to, sorry. We'll just, that's all right. We'll just, for me to go into something right now, it's not enough time.
Yeah,
so.
First Peter, what was that up there?
We'll do this next week. First Peter 2:20. Okay, Linda, you want to pray?
Oh, it's done?
We're done?
Yeah.
We started late.
We're
not even going to go into Acts.
Read it again if you think you'll forget.
Do we have a half an hour? If we have a half an hour.
We don't know what time it is.
We just wait until next week. It's no big deal.
Are we on the press schedule? 10:39.
We stop at quarter till. We stop in 5 minutes. That's so to get into something new right now.
You know, we should have a special.
What about your last verse? Why don't we just go into your last verse there, and then you can go into Acts, unless you had a lot in that. Do you have a lot in that last verse? Yeah.
I had a couple things, but I have to build up.
Yeah.
Build up.
Yeah.
We're not on any time frame,
no,
are we?
No, we're not.
No one's upset that we'll pick up where we left off, are they?
Well,
no.
Okay. I don't know. I did study Acts, and I tend to forget.
Let me tell you something. You know what? If you read it again this week, I bet you'll get even more out of it.
That's right.
That's okay, Etta. We'll just read it again. We tend to forget our own names, don't we?
I hear you. Yeah, I'm the same way. I did something this week where I forgot something at work, and it was like, I mean, it could have cost me my job if I hadn't have picked up on it quick.
Really?
If God hadn't brought
sensitive information,
if God hadn't brought it to you, remember? Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just real quickly tell you, I drove to Cynthiana, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You know where that is. I mean, it's an hour and a half drive, not from here, but from where I live.
Yeah.
And got a girl enrolled in the Job Corps and did everything, 2 hours there, whatever. Drove back to the office, an hour and 15 minutes. Opened up my briefcase and everything, my satchel, whatever. It's not there.
What? The file.
The file. So I drive all the way back. And you know what? The whole time I'm praising the Lord. Because normally I would have been like, blankety, blank, 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 you know? And I did not. I called Julie and I was calm.
You're fine.
So that was the Lord giving me the opportunity. to do something stupid. I mean, that was about as stupid as I could have been. I mean, there's sensitive information. In fact, this young lady, let's pray for her, name's Katie. She's 17 years old. She is, her biological dad beat her. He was a blown alcoholic, a full-blown alcoholic. He would beat her. A year ago in school, the reason she's wanting to go to Job Corps now, a year ago in school, a boy raped her. Her name's Katie, keep her in prayer. And now she's transgender now, and she is getting ready to start testosterone injections. And, you know, you gotta look at that and say, you know, she doesn't believe in God because she even said, is there any religion in this Job Corps thing? And I said, no. I said, it's, you know, whatever you believe is what you believe. There's no discrimination. There's no nothing in Job Corps, but you be yourself. And
who she doesn't know.
Huh?
Who she doesn't know. She doesn't know who she is.
No. Yeah. No. She's very confused because she has been abused and beaten. Yeah. And you have to sit there and say, you know, how can you judge her?
You
can't. You can't. There's no way.
Because we haven't walked in her shoes.
No. She's very, very confused. And she doesn't know where to go to get the answers.
But we're
going to pray for her that God sends people.
What was her name again?
Katie.
Let's go to prayer for her right now.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
I can.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, the most powerful name in heaven and earth.
Glory God.
You have all authority. You have all power.
Yes, you do.
And Lord, you can change any set of circumstances here on this earth. You can bind those things here on earth, and they're bound in heaven. You can bind things, and you can loose things here on earth as it would be in heaven. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, a special touch, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, maybe she has no one that knows you in her circle of family and friends. Maybe she has no, you know what? Paul was going to the road to Damascus, and he had a plan in his mind that he was going to accomplish, and that's to persecute the Christians. Mm-hmm. So guess what? You appeared as this bright, shining light to Paul, so you can do that for Katie.
Yes.
Lord, you can just open her eyes to your love and your caring touch, Lord. That life isn't what she's experienced. That what she's experienced is not the way she has to live her life and accept as this is the way my life is and it's going to be this way and there's nothing I can do about it. That you have an abundant life set before her, Lord, and that, Father, we just pray that you just open her eyes and allow her to see the love that you have for her. And that love is the only love she needs to be able to feel accepted into her, whatever her situation is, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love each and every person on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I was on there for a minute. Not talking about it.